Welcome to Three in the Key.
3 seconds to go. Tatum launching. It counts. Doesn't look like a rookie. That point's for you. And Mom loves it.
Unbelievable.
Bringing you in-depth basketball analysis and interviews from the Great White North.
Now, back-to-back years, Al Horford last year, Gordon Hayward this year, they've started to establish themselves again as a destination franchise in the league. And with Gordon Hayward now paired up with Al Horford, with Isaiah Thomas, this is a team that Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens has to believe can compete for an Eastern Conference championship.
With your hosts, Elias L. Zane, Will Macklin, and Dave the Professor Tripp.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Three in the Key. Elias L. Zane alongside Dave Tripp.
What?
Will Macklin.
Crickets.
Crickets, wow.
Crickets.
Disrespectful.
How about Fuadahat? Any luck? No. Two in the key today.
Two in the key. It's the Give and Go podcast.
Give and Go, I like that.
Yeah, pick and roll.
Beautiful.
Two-man game.
I'm the paint guy, obviously. Standing 5'8" and a half. Dave the Professor Tripp.
The half matters.
You know it does. I mean, come on. I've been to the combine.
No, both guys away. Fuad's going to be away for a bit. Real work took over his life.
Yeah. Still so, contributes, though.
Yeah.
Still our point man online.
Online. So no, all the information you get on all of our social media is from Fuad, the man behind the scene.
We can still communicate with him by phone, too. So we'll make sure we do that.
Yeah,
he'll be
joining us. He's just not here this week. Will's just in a no-show. I mean, I don't know what
unbelievable
he thinks
guy.
This is. He's pulling a Derrick Rose on us again.
Again, eh? Unbelievable.
He just doesn't show. Like, forgot, like, we had a game.
You know what? I think he's pulling a Markelle Fultz. Like, oh, I twisted my ankle. Pulling the old Philly rookie surprise.
Poor Markelle Fultz. Poor everyone that gets drafted by Philly.
I'm joking. Will, I hope you're back next week. But Markelle, that's terrible.
I tweeted before the draft. I was like, okay, so who's, when Philly takes this play? Well, it was Markelle at that time. We knew who it was. I was like, so is Markelle going to have a redshirt season? And then there you know it, his Vegas summer league, he gets hurt. But it's not bad. It's a sprained ankle. Hopefully, he'll be able to recover, even if he doesn't play the rest of the way.
Sure.
In Vegas.
You know rookies in Philly don't play summer league. It just doesn't happen. So.
Yeah. Hopefully, he'll just be ready for the NBA season come October or the preseason, in September, and we'll get this thing going and they don't have to redshirt him.
Apparently he's the most pro-ready, so he doesn't need much practice time is what they said on draft night. So
yeah.
We'll see.
The NBA awards happened. All the awards were dished out. MVP Westbrook took that one.
I love it.
I mean, I would have loved if Will was here because he was cheering for Harden.
No wonder. Can't make it in, guys.
Yeah. He was cheering for Harden all year long. I thought Harden should win because of the winning matters. That's what, put Harden over Westbrook for me.
For sure.
Because he had more wins. And they played each other in the playoffs, even though that doesn't matter because the voting is done beforehand. And, the Houston Rockets beat them 4-1.
I don't think it should have any merit.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But I'm just saying a lot of people said, oh, this is going to prove who the real MVP is.
You want to win a trophy in the playoffs? You got to go further than the second round.
Oh, for sure. And Kevin Durant took that one.
That's it.
It's funny. You see how Kevin Durant left his team at the Oklahoma City Thunder. And Westbrook, first year without KD, he takes home the MVP. And KD takes home the finals MVP.
I know.
Crazy.
What a special year. And nice to see KD take a modified deal, a little bit less money.
Mm-hmm. We'll get into that conversation in a bit. The Warriors and all of our free agents.
This has been we've got so much on the show. There's so much.
There's too much to talk about.
There's so much. Like, I'm just scrolling through things, and I'm like, every time I want to jump in.
I don't know if we even have time.
It's
to
true.
Talk about everything.
We won't mention Hardaway in New York. We just won't mention that one. We'll leave that one off
the
docket.
We'll leave that one until next week. Maybe when it gets finalized. Well, I'm pretty sure it's finalized. I think Atlanta said that they weren't going to match.
It's
funny how they drafted him and then traded him and now they're signing him.
You wouldn't want to, wait an extra day and sign Caldwell Pope. Right?
No.
Terrible idea in New York. Anyway.
Big shout out to Canada Basketball. FIBA U19 going on.
Unbelievable.
They beat the U.S. in the semifinal, 99-87. The tournament's going on in Cairo in Egypt.
They crushed
play Italy.
Cal. Cal's the coach over there, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't like to lose.
Roy Rana, the coach of the U19 Canadian team. Obviously, the head coach of Ryerson University, who won the OUA championship for the second consecutive year. Went to the final but lost to Carleton Nationals. Canada plays Italy in the final today. But by the time we put this podcast out, there will probably be a champion crown.
About RJ Barrett? Barrett. Unbelievable.
17 years old. Just turned 17.
He's favored to go first, eh?
This is a new U19. He's 2 years younger than everybody in this tournament. He led the way with 38 points, 13 rebounds, and 5 assists against the U.S. He leads the tournament scoring a 22 a game.
It's insane.
And he just turned 17, as I mentioned. He is going to be a beast. He's
saying,
the future of Canadian basketball.
No, without question. He is the future. There are a lot of people tied him, even when he was 14, to Andrew Wiggins, like the next great Canadian prospect.
For sure.
And he's already saying, I may jump in a year early. So he right now...
Why not?
He right now is a sophomore in high school. He's thinking he will jump in as a junior and then become eligible for college early. And Duke and Kentucky are fighting over his rights right now.
Oh, I think every big NCAA team would want to have him.
Wouldn't that be special? Like, he's the favorite, whether he comes up early like Wiggins did or he stays in his draft, he's the favorite to go first overall that year, both as a high school recruit and in the following NBA draft. And you look at that performance, 38 points.
Maybe
America. Just not a bad team.
Yeah. Full of guys who are NCAA players, and Cal has a few Kentucky Wildcats on his roster.
Yep. PJ Washington.
Yeah. Hamadou Diallo.
Yeah. There's a...
I think there was
team.
A third one, but there was a...
Yeah, Jared Vanderbilt got hurt. He left early. But there are some pretty special Canadian teams. We've been talking about how good this class is, both this year's class and next year's class. The development is just unbelievable right now in Canada basketball. And it's coming to a head right now. And RJ Barrett is the pinnacle of that excellence.
Listen to this, Dave. What happens if the NCAA and the NBA figure something out, or the NBA changes its rule and says, yes, now we're allowed high school players to come out? RJ Barrett, first ever Canadian out of high school, probably gets drafted.
It's true. I think they'd make him graduate. I think there would be a stipulation.
Yeah, well, instead of going straight to college a year early, he'd play the extra year of high school and then just get drafted.
That's exactly it, for sure. I think that what they'll do is they'll make you do 4 years of high school, and then away you go.
Oh, yeah. You would have to graduate high school.
Even LeBron did 4 years in high school.
Yeah, all of them. I think you have to be a senior high school to make it, declare.
That would be pretty good.
It would be special, for sure. Definitely check that out. Watch the highlights. Canada is doing a phenomenal job in developing young talent, and they're on their way. One more game, and hopefully when this podcast is out, we would be crowned gold medalists.
Nice to slay the dragon, though. American team, that's so huge.
Beat the U.S. in the semifinal. It's big. Hopefully it's going to be a rivalry, just like it is in hockey, in basketball in the years to come at all levels of competition, you know, in the junior level, U19, 18, 17, in the seniors team. Hopefully Canada gets it going at the senior level in time for 2020 at Tokyo for the Olympics and before that in the World Championships. Remember, you guys can get a hold of us by email, the3nikki@gmail.com, on Facebook @3nikki, on Twitter @basketpod, on Instagram @the3nikki. You can listen to each and every episode on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, and of course on the almighty Baller Radio Network. And you can hear us here locally in Ottawa on Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock on CKDJ 107.9. Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes and Google Play as well. You can check out our website, 3inthekey.ca. In today's program, we'll talk the offseason. Of course, it's in full effect. Vegas Summer League is underway. Orlando and Utah have wrapped up. We'll talk maybe some of the best worst free agent signings. The tough Western Conference has got even tougher when more players go in there. We'll try to assemble Eastern and Western Conference all-star teams. It's still very early. We are in July, but me and Dave like to look ahead and see what we can come up with in the West. Who will be missing out? Who will be on the East?
Which one's going to be the tougher team to pick? The team that has very few assets, we got to scrap together an Eastern Conference All-Star team? Or who do we got to cut from that Western Conference behemoth? Oh, man. Only time will tell.
Exactly. We'll look forward to it. Summer League action so far. What are you liking, Dave? Lonzo had a horrible first game, obviously. I'm going to talk about the Lakers.
Responds with a triple-double.
11-11-11 and a loss to the Celtics. They're 0-2, but in that first game, Brandon Ingram's not playing anymore in Summer League. Leg cramp, so...
Yep.
Magic Johnson shut him down, but he had like 26 in the first game.
I think
they saw what they needed to see, and they're like, okay, he's put in the work.
That's exactly
He's ready, and hopefully he'll be consistent and have a very good bounce back here. Maybe most improved candidate?
It could be. Like, honestly, Brandon Ingram, the sky's kind of the limit. You saw how well he developed in the second half. he's got to put some pounds on his frame so he can defend the three in the NBA.
He's
but
19 still, 20 years old.
Yeah, I know. He's so young. The guy, he's a raw prospect, and he's going to be so good when he's ready. But his shooting ability is there. And with him and Ball, you've got size, you've got shooting ability.
Passing, obviously, Lonzo Ball's passing has been unbelievable.
So he doesn't even have to shoot. It's like,
no.
I watched him play in UCLA all season long, and the best games that this guy had, he shot three or four times the whole game. He'd end up with 10 points, 8 assists, 3 steals. Unbelievable.
Well, that's exactly it. He had 11, 11, 11.
He doesn't care about points. He cares about his team winning and playing his style
of
game.
And he's putting the guys in the best position to be successful with his passing ability. He's finding guys. I really like this Kyle Kuzma kid.
Yeah.
He's been a
inside,
bolt of
outside,
energy,
sure. Yeah.
Especially on the
defensive
end. It's
like another Larry Nance they picked up,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly, but this guy, I think, he's smaller, so he'll be able to play the three, get out on guards quicker than Larry Nance, who's fourth. And by the way, one of the fan awards was that dunk of the year and went to Oladipo. And
I like
horrible.
The Oladipo one better in the end.
No, that's trash. It should have went to Larry Nance. And Brook Lopez, who is a teammate of Larry Nance now, said that Larry Nance got robbed and he had the best view of
no
anyone. So he should know.
He still has the imprint of the ball on his forehead.
Probably. Wow. But yeah, so anything else stand out for you at Summer League other than Markel's injury, Lonzo doing well? I know you wanted to talk Dennis Smith.
Dennis Smith Jr., yeah. That first of all, the dunk from warm-up that he had last night was unbelievable. The guy's got a 40-plus inch vertical. This is a guy that missed a year with knee surgery, too. So to come back and be that athletic right away, early in the year I was saying he may be the best point guard in the class. I don't want to say that now, but he's going to be a very good player. The other guy, I gave Boston a bit of a hard time for taking Jason Tatum. Because I thought they wanted Josh Jackson. I think they still did. He's the best the best wing in this year's class. But Jason Tatum was spectacular in Summer League so far. 27 points last night. Unbelievable. And he's turning on a dime. He's hitting ridiculous step-back shots. He looks really, really good. And it looks like Danny Ainge did his due diligence making that pick.
Yeah, I think we're both agreed that he is better than Jaylen Brown.
Yes.
Already.
I think that Jaylen Brown was just a swing and a miss on that pick. I don't know how he's going to fit
Danny
into there.
Well, Danny said he's not happy with his roster.
How many wings can you have on your team?
I know, and I don't. Well, another trade was Avery Bradley, and that was bad.
That's a terrible trade
for Boston.
Yeah, but here's the thing: like, I get what he's doing. He needed a certain bargain salary coming back, which Morris has. He had one of the better contracts in the NBA, right? So you're trading an insanely big salary for one that is very palatable, you're able to work with. But the return just isn't enough. Why wouldn't you trade for a pick? Why wouldn't you trade for a young player? Why wouldn't you trade for anybody with a low salary that's better than Morris? It just doesn't strike me as a fair balance. I think that Bradley is one of the better defensive guards in the whole NBA.
Yep.
And
I agree.
Morris doesn't stack up at all.
He goes to Detroit now. I like the move for Detroit. Detroit lets Kentavious Caldwell-Pope walk.
I don't know about one, though.
Making him an unrestricted free agent. Probably didn't want to pay him the big bucks, the maximum. Otto Porter, who got matched. Washington matched that contract he got from Brooklyn.
$108 million.
I think the Lakers should take a look at Pope, but the Lakers are... Seems like they only want to offer one-year deals.
Yeah, he'd be a great fit there, though.
Yeah, he would be a great fit. Shooting.
Shutdown kind of player, too.
Shooting. With a guy like Lonzo passing the ball, you're going to get yourself a lot of open shots.
I think Lonzo's big flaw is his defensive ability, too.
Yes.
I think that having a guy like Caldwell Pope that could switch would be really, really helpful for them.
It would be.
Be interesting to see where he goes. How often does a 24-year-old player with that much upside just become available to anybody? Highest bidder. So that's going to be fun to watch.
We'll see where he lands. Obviously, he's still an unrestricted free agent, but it looks like the Lakers only want to offer one-year deals to maximize salary and 2018 free agency. Moving on to free agency, which has been better than the NBA postseason.
It has been better than
anything.
Just about anything. This has been the greatest postseason in history of sports.
Off-season.
Yes, or off-season, yes. In the history of sports, not postseason, the opposite.
Some of the big names, yeah, exactly. Some of the big names, Chris Paul getting traded to the Rockets. Paul George to the Thunder, Sam Presti should be charged with robbery or something.
Totally.
He traded Ibaka and got Oladipo and Sabonis.
Yep.
And then he turned that into Paul George.
It's ridiculous. Even if he's a rental. Even if he's a rental.
And because you know Oladipo's making more money than Paul George this year too.
Yeah.
About a million something. I know. Almost $2 million.
It's totally ridiculous. You traded away a bad contract.
Exactly. A guy who's never been an all-star, who's never been anything. I think he's participated in a dunk contest or something. I want to say Oladipo. He won that fan award for the dunk. But Paul George, a all-NBA player, all-defensive player, an all-star,
maybe
one
top,
of the best
top
players.
Top 10 in the whole league,
yeah, top
sure.
10 in the league. You get him to pair him with Westbrook. Even if he leaves at the end of the year, you got rid of Oladipo's deal to free up more money. They re-signed Robertson, 3 years, $30 million, which is good. They added Patrick
Patterson.
Yeah, that's
a bargain. There were people saying he could get max money, which is just totally ridiculous. The guy can't shoot.
I know, he can't shoot, but he plays. Shooting. He just plays defense.
Yeah.
$1 million for every percentage. Patrick Patterson.
Yeah. Hey, Swiss Army Knife. We've watched him play for years.
Yeah, I know, but he doesn't make shots in the playoffs, so I don't really care. I was happy that the Raptors let him walk, and Thunder got him at a bargain.
Yeah, you know, the Raptors.
I think they signed Raymond Felton now to a 1 year deal as well.
Yes. So I like what the Thunder's doing. They're putting themselves right back into the conversation in the West. I don't know if they're quite there yet, but between Westbrook and Paul George, it's two guys with a chip on their shoulder.
Oh, for sure.
And
they're going to come out.
They're going
to come out and try to win,
of course.
A lot of
fun to watch,
for sure. But it also makes the Bulls' return for Butler look amazing, doesn't it?
I know. That's what I was saying last week. It's really not that bad. I know Zach Levine's hurt.
But now compared to this deal especially.
It's terrible. It's just terrible. Like... I think Oladipo might be the best player in both trades, but like by a hair, only because Levine's hurt. Like I don't know what you don't know what you're getting.
You don't
with
know
Levine.
What you're getting with Chris Dunn, and you don't know what you get with Sabonis. Yeah, Sabonis showed some potential last year. He could rebound,
not enough
inside, outside. Yeah, I know, but not too much. He hasn't shown it. Maybe in Indiana, he'll get more minutes.
I think he'll be a valuable player in the league. I don't think he'll ever be an all-star, though.
No,
and to
like
trade
a valuable
Paul George,
rotation player.
To trade a guy who's all-NBA quality?
Indiana just didn't want him in the Eastern Conference. I think that was it. And
Larry,
they didn't
Larry
want to
Bird
trade him
got
to the
it
Lakers.
Well, at the right time. Like, no, get out of town, man. You don't want to be tied to that.
The Clippers traded Chris Paul, right?
Huh.
I think they've done a good job since trading Chris Paul. I thought Blake Griffin would have walked as well, but he re-signed on a maximum deal.
Yep.
They've brought in Gallinari in that three-team trade with the Nuggets and the Hawks. And Beverly Lou Williams, Sam Decker, Montrezl Hiller, a few players that came back.
And what about the overseas signing? That's a big
one,
too.
Yeah, Milos...
I'm going to let you pronounce it.
Teodosic, I believe.
That's it. You nailed it.
He's signed. He's the best European player to not play in the NBA.
How about that behind the backer that's been trending?
Donovan Mitchell?
No, his pass behind the back.
Him?
Ooh.
Yeah,
Teledosic.
He's good.
He's really good.
You'll probably start him and bring Beverly off the bench, or you start them both in the backcourt. Who knows? They've been deep. This is the deepest I think the Clippers have been under Doc Rivers. Do you think they still may be able to win and get into the postseason? I think 50 games might be a stretch, but they're deep. That's the thing.
Yeah.
DeAndre Jordan, he'll still block shots and rebound for you. Blake Griffin's going to be the guy that the offense goes through, but they got some ball handlers in Beverly and
if they were
Teodosic.
In the East, I'd say they could go to the conference final, but they're in the West, so I don't know. Maybe an 8 seed, maybe a 7 seed. There's
Williams
so much competition.
I like what they've done since trading Chris Paul. They've added some talent and they've become they've got deeper. I don't like the Clippers. I thought I still think they're whack, but just because I'm a Laker fan.
I'm excited to see Blake Griffin with the ball in his hands a little bit more now because he's a really good ball handler.
Well, this
guy
finished like fourth in MVP voting a couple of years ago.
So I'm excited
he's been
to see.
Hurt. So the offense will go through him now. They've been okay. Now Houston. They get Chris Paul.
Houston's a tank now.
They got a guy who can play on and off the ball, I think. And more importantly, a point guard who won't turn it over, right? Because Harden turned it over just under 6 times a night. And he turned it over 464 times last season.
NBA record?
That is an NBA record.
Yep. Felt like one.
And one season. So an extra ball handler is going to be great, and he's going to generate even more looks for Harden, and I think D'Antoni will figure out a way to make them both work.
And I mean, the best offensive coach of the year, best offensive player in the league, you get the best playmaker in one of the best playmakers in NBA history. That never ends up a bad move. Like, 55 exactly. wins last year. How many do they add getting Chris Paul? Honestly. How much better do they get? Yeah. Are they firmly
and
number
they added
two in the West?
One of the under-radar signing and that I love for Houston was P.J. Tucker.
Yeah, P.J. Tucker. You watched him with the Raptors. Pickup. He was incredible in the playoffs.
Big pickup for Houston. This guy, I was praying that the Raptors would be able to re-sign him. But he chose Houston, and Chris Paul apparently was a big reason in recruiting him, and that's a big move. I like plays defense, his three-pointers, and you know he's just going to give you a fight every single night out there.
P.J. Tucker knows which way the wind's blowing, and he joined a team that is a perfect fit for him because he is going to be matching up against a guy like LeBron or Kevin Durant in the playoffs this year, and he's going to be a difference maker.
Another team that added a ball handler we spoke of, Oklahoma City, with the addition of Paul George, because a close second in terms of turnovers was Russell Westbrook. He had 438, an average of 5.4 a night, which was second worst in NBA history.
Yep.
And they both happened in the same season.
MVP, so, baby.
Yeah, even if it's a rental for a year, it takes some of the workload off Westbrook, and
for
it should
sure.
be obviously entertaining to watch. Obviously, Dave, the West is more competitive now, or are we guaranteed another Warriors-Cavs final?
I think the West is much more competitive now. We mentioned the Rockets getting so much better. I think the Rockets could push the Warriors straight up next year. I don't think that it's a foregone conclusion at all. The Nuggets got better. The Pelicans will be better. They re-signed Drew Holiday.
The Wolves got better.
The Wolves got a lot better. They could push next year straight up. Like they could actually push. I don't know how much depth they have, but their starting lineup is nearly as good as anyone in the league. It's
They'll
ridiculous.
Be very filthy.
And they may have the best center in the NBA. So... And he's 21. Throwing that out there.
Where did he go to school again?
Where did he go? Kentucky. I'm pretty sure he went to Kentucky.
Dave and his Kentucky boys. But listen, see what the Warriors did, okay? Everyone said it was horrible for the league that Kevin Durant went to Golden State. It's going to ruin the NBA. Yet more people watch the NBA than ever.
It's true. They started the arms race. That's what's happened.
And they now did. It's either you're in that race or you're on the sidelines watching.
Yeah.
And
or you're Phoenix. Yeah.
Or you're Phoenix. You know, at least the Lakers are trying to come up, you know?
Hey, the Lakers, they're putting themselves in a good position. Like you said, keep that cap space for Paul George next year.
Exactly.
Unless him and Wes take it all the way to the final, right? Could happen.
Him and Westbrook, you think
so?
I don't know, man. Maybe. But the Warriors have got better themselves.
Yeah.
They re-signed everybody.
Yep.
KD took a huge pay cut.
Or Iguodala. Everybody was saying, there's no way they can keep Iguodala. Well, they did. And they got Livingston.
And then they re-signed also Pachulia, who gave them good minutes. David West.
Yep.
Then they go out and get Omri Caspi, who shoots it at 36% from deep, who's
for
just
sure.
going to be told to, hey, listen, stand there, and when the ball comes, shoot it. Okay?
That's right. You play the three or the four.
And then they go out and add Nick Young, who on a one-year deal is just over $5 million, who had a great very good year last year.
Yeah, honestly,
like on the defensive end, especially, and then he shoots it. He's a good three-point shooter as
definitely.
Well, 37% on his career, 40% last year with the Lakers. And listen to this. He was second in the league effective field goal percentage on catch-and-shoot plays, 65.4%.
Wow.
He's not going to have to create his own shot. He's going to stand there, also catch and shoot it. You know who was first? Curry. You know who else is in the top 10? Durant and Thompson.
Yeah, they're pretty good at that. It's a nice thing. You have one guy running around just dishing, and then you've got the shot at all times.
No, you have the ball passing, going through Draymond, and then you have guys who are literally going to catch and shoot. And Nick Young fits that. He's there on a one-year deal, and coming into this team, he knows like he can't play around, and especially had a bounce-back season after that whole drama in L.A. with D'Angelo
and the phones and Iggy.
He had a good bounce-back year, and now he's playing on a contender, on a favorite, on a team that everyone thinks is going to win the title again. And if they win, maybe he re-signs again. And right now, there's no way, until we see it, there's nobody stopping the Warriors.
Yeah, no, they're just on another level, and they just keep getting better. At least now, it's not a two-team league. That's the way I'm looking at the end. I'm actually so excited for how next year develops, because you know there will be moves too. We haven't even talked about the Eastern Conference, but there've been some pretty
Gordon Hayward signed in the East. Boston, but I don't know if they got any better, honestly.
No, I think they got better.
They got better, but like in terms of wins, like I would have liked to see Bradley stay on that team. I think that would make you better.
I wanted them to make a move at the draft and have Hayward and Butler. That's what I wanted to see happen.
Okay, that makes you very
good. That makes you the best team in the NBA. If you get those guys with Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford and whoever you want at the four, that's the best starting lineup in the NBA, in
depending on what you gave up for Butler.
Yeah. Well, it would have been like Crowder and probably a guy like Bradley. They would have taken a lot. Butler's
yeah,
a superstar.
Pick, and that's the thing with Danny Ainge. He doesn't want to give away his
assets. But like, you look what they got for Butler. I mean, they could have put together a package that wouldn't have hurt the Celtics so badly. Like, it doesn't make sense.
They traded Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, and that first round pick. But they got to exchange for it. So let's say I'm Boston. I would offer something like, you know, Terry Rozier is like a Chris Dunn. Instead of Zach LaVine, you know, I would give you maybe like a Jaylen Brown or even an established guy like Jay Crowder. And then maybe a future pick.
The thing about Jay Crowder is he makes no money. So they don't want to trade him. He's making like under $10 million a year.
Yeah,
so that's
exactly
the reason they keep him.
And he has a few years left.
But they traded Bradley because they didn't want him to not re-sign next year. So we'll keep the guy and win a championship this year, you turkeys. What a stupid move. Let's bring in Marcus Morris, another wing. So you've got Morris, you've got Tatum, you've got Brown, you got Gordon Hayward. Anyone else? Anyone else I'm missing here to play the same position next year? Great. Perfect. And now you got Rozier, Smart, and Thomas. Those are your guards.
Yeah.
They're not done. They got to do something else.
No, they will. Danny Ainge has to. He knows he wants to be better. He wants to make the finals at least.
Of course.
They renounced the rights to Kelly Olynyk, who ended up signing in Miami. Miami's going to be good.
I like that move a lot.
Miami's going to be good. They re-signed Deion Waiters. They re-signed James Johnson. They added Kelly Olynyk.
I really like Miami.
This is
teams.
A team that went 30-11
yeah.
to close out the season.
For sure.
And just missed the playoffs.
I really like their team. I really like James Johnson. That guy's turned into a really good player. Deion Waiters. They got like
Syracuse Orange.
One of your guys. That's right. A guy that they picked up out of the puddle and resurrected into elite status. The guy had a hell of a year.
Great year. He got hurt a bit, but when he played, he was productive.
But you got veterans on the team. Dragic, Whiteside's turning into a veteran on that team. Getting Kelly Olynyk, a truly unique player in the league. A real modern NBA guy,
some,
I think.
Some might say dirty.
Hey, you need a guy like that on your team. You need a guy that people are looking over their shoulders when they're in the paint. Yeah. I don't want to get my shoulder dislocated, and I'm on the floor against Kelly Olynyk. I may stay an extra inch or two away from him. All right, well, that's all it takes. He'll get the rebound.
Yeah, exactly. It's one way to look at it for sure. Another team in the East, obviously Cleveland, who haven't done much in this offseason, re-signed. Their biggest move has been losing David Griffin. Because if he was still there, he would have probably...
Well, it's hard to make signings when you lose your GM right before free agency. I mean, I figured LeBron would be on the phone, but apparently not.
Apparently, he did have a conversation with Jamal Crawford, but Jamal Crawford chose Minnesota, adding another weapon to that Timberwolves team, who everyone now has bolted into the playoffs. If they don't make it, if they all get hurt, okay, that's we understand.
We did this last year, too.
I know, everybody but last year they were young. That's they were going to battle for eighth, but they didn't do it. Now they added some vets, and the expectations are there.
Mm-hmm.
So barring any injuries, they should be able to be, I think, in a top five in the West.
I think so, too. I think that they're the four or five team.
But what is Cleveland doing? Are they like getting prepared because they know LeBron's leaving or something? They signed Jose Calderon and Jeff Green to one-year deals. I don't know if that puts you over the top. I still think they're the best team in the East.
I would agree.
No doubt. They re-signed Kyle Korver to a three-year deal, but they haven't got better.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I think that Cleveland, how much money do they have? What are they really working with? And they have no assets to trade. So... That's the thing.
And no one wants J.R. Smith's contract.
What were they saying? They want to trade Melo for Kevin Love? Like, that's a terrible trade. Why would you do that? Kevin Love's a better player. It's just about every trade. Oh, we're going to make a trade. We're going to trade for Paul George. You get Kevin Love. You get Kevin Love. You get Kevin Love. Nobody wants Kevin Love, okay? Like, nobody wants to trade their superstar for Kevin Love. I'm sorry. I like Kevin Love. He's a good player. But he's not Paul George. And, like, trading him for Carmelo Anthony would be a stupid move. Because Carmelo plays the same position as LeBron. And all you're going to do is throw off the groove that this team is in.
Kevin Love had a good year. I think it was his first year in Cleveland where it was like his first year was an adjustment, right? And then he got hurt in the playoffs in the first round.
Wasn't he an all-star last year?
Yeah, he was.
There you go.
Second year was they won the championship, but he faded in the finals. He wasn't good. This last year, he was really good during the season, and he was okay in the playoffs.
If you're in Cleveland, you're as good as LeBron lets you be. That's how it works because he gives you the ball. Kevin Love's job isn't to go and get the ball in his hands and score on his own. It's to wait for LeBron to put it in his hands. Like, it's... I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, I don't think they've gotten better, but I still think they're the best team in the East right now.
Definitely.
In July, beginning of July. We'll see what Boston does. Maybe Washington, Milwaukee, Toronto. Those are teams.
I think Milwaukee's going to get much better. Just based on the development of Antetokounmpo, it's hard to say Jabari Parker being out. He's going to miss some time, but...
Chris Middleton's back.
They got a lot better. Rookie of the year, Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah,
love
he's going to give him some minutes. That ends our conversation for the offseason so far. We'll be back to talk about...
I love this.
Who we think is going to be an all-star already, or the all-star teams that we think we could put together for the East and the West, and just teams in general. How many teams can make the playoffs in the Western Conference? Because it's going to be, like, for the East, maybe six.
Imagine two are just going to make it by default.
The
East, they're like, we're only giving you six teams this year. We're going to give the West 10. Wild card system.
No, we'll see what we can put together. So East and West All-Stars, and just in general, the Western Conference, what teams are not going to make the playoffs, who are probably going to have good records. Want to dive back into 08, and we'll let you know what happened that year and how good the Western Conference was, because it's starting to remind me about 10 years later of how this season could be. We'll be back on 3 Nikki.
Inside there, Wiley. Oh, and Barrett pulls up the block shot with the putback, and he gets fouled. Unbelievable. I mean, 38 points, and he's got, look at that. He's not taking a bow, but he's recognizing the fans, and he's like, I'm glad that I was able to entertain you, which he has. He has been utterly sensational.
Welcome back to 3 in the Key.
Man, f*** the ball, boy.
Hello, and welcome back. Inside the Key, it's Elias Lozane alongside just Dave Tripp today.
That's right.
We're holding it down.
Short-handed, but we're feeling good.
We're feeling real good. The Raptors, we talked about the offseason and signing for the teams in the earlier segment. The Raptors re-signed Kyle Lowry. They re-signed Ibaka.
Boom.
Three-year deals each. Maximum money for Kyle Lowry.
Keeping the core together.
Same with the Ibaka, pretty much getting about $20 million over, a little over $20 million, I think, a season.
It's a steal for Lowry and... It's a good contract for Ibaka, too.
You know, Lowry gets his money, and then it's not five, right?
That's right.
3 years is solid, and their young guys, are looks like they'll get more playing time. They traded Damari Carroll, had to attach a few picks to that, but it seems like Brooklyn likes to take horrible contracts.
That's right. But you look at what Brooklyn's kind of done in the offseason. They've kind of put some assets together. I mean,
you
got
to give
in
props
salary.
To Sean Marks.
Without question.
The GM for coming in there with basically nothing and now trying to turn this around, has a few young pieces, young talents, went out and got D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah.
And now he's taking in these contracts, but
plus
getting
picks. Yeah.
So he's trying to build, and they're trying to be better, obviously, so that Boston doesn't get a first overall pick once again.
But you're going to get, Cy Kam's going to get a better shot this year with the Raptors.
For the Raptors, yep.
Pirtle's going to get a better shot.
Down right.
They just drafted OG Anunoby, so another guy that's going to slide into that. Actually,
Fred VanVleet.
Kind of a similar style player to Damari Carroll. So I think that the Raptors are in a good position to not only compete next year, but develop some of their talent, which is what they need to do.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to that. I think Masai's
because he wants to be
done.
A Raptor for life.
He does. That's great.
I love
honestly.
It. Yeah, best at his job in the whole league, I think.
One of the best, for sure. Up there with, you know, the Popovich and R.C. Buford in San Antonio. Bob Myers is doing a hell of a job.
Yeah.
In
Golden not
State,
bad, eh?
Yeah, you know, three straight finals, two championships, doing very well. LeBron was doing well for a bit, too, as a GM.
That's right. Hey, now David Griffin said that he may be able to save the Knicks. Apparently,
I know.
Apparently, it's looking like he may end up there.
Imagine he goes there and then signs LeBron James next year.
That's all good. No, you would never have to worry about LeBron winning another ring. So,
no, but you know, LeBron signing anywhere, the team's going to get turned around overnight.
It's true. But I just feel something about Madison Square Gardens. No. It'll bring the worst out of LeBron. They ruined Melo. They ruined Melo.
He's had great games at the Garden.
That's true.
Wrong uniform.
Yeah, exactly. Usually in the visiting colors.
He's very good, okay? I'm sure if anyone could bring a championship to New York, it's LeBron.
He'd be at the top of the list.
Of course.
Joel Embiid getting fined $10,000 for using inappropriate language on social media, saying F LaVar Ball. $10,000 for three words.
Apparently you can't say that. Even though everybody's thinking it, you can't say it out loud.
Yeah, how do you feel about that, Dave? I don't know. I get why the NBA has done it. I don't like it. It's kind of taken away from someone's freedom of speech almost. But I guess you're representing the NBA. You got to be a professional 24/7, a role model.
Yeah.
And now with social media days, everyone's watching you. Kids are watching from their phones.
That's my big thing. I think that a guy like Joel Embiid, who is like, he's the millennials superstar. He's the guy on Twitter picking up fans every day, young people. And for him to tweet that out, how many people's kids saw that tweet yesterday, right? It's not.
It was on Instagram or the video.
Sure, on Instagram, wherever. That's where the kids congregate these days. Could have done it on Foursquare for all I care. The fact of the matter is kids see that stuff, and it does reflect on the NBA. That being said, LaVar Ball is able to go around and say whatever he wants with impunity. Nobody's fining him. Nobody's fining Lonzo for his comments. But Embiid isn't able to respond in the same way. I think that that's a little over the top. Yeah. I think he should be able to come out and say that.
But LaVar is not playing in the league. I think that's why they can't fine him.
Well, LaVar is supposed to be an adult, right? And
it's true.
If he acted like one for 2 seconds, then maybe... I don't understand why you'd pick a fight with Embiid anyway. The guy's so lovable. And he has nothing to do with your son. So, just keep flapping your gums, LaVar. Like, I mean, it's good for the league. Honestly, people are talking about basketball. This has been the best offseason ever. And
something like that.
This Embiid, LaVar Ball, it's only going to get better. I mean, they're both prominently
featured.
Yeah,
when Philly plays the Lakers.
I love it.
We mentioned that we're going to give you all-star teams, right?
Huh.
For this upcoming season, obviously the West got better, so we're leaving players off. In the East,
it's a lean crop.
Yeah, it's a lean crop. We're going to, we struggled a bit to put this team together. But just speaking about the two conferences, I want to take a trip with what would be 10 years ago, the 2007-08 season. There was 8 teams that won 50 games. In the Western Conference.
Yep.
And the 9th team in the Western Conference was Golden State at that time. They had 48 wins.
That's 48 pretty good
wins. 10 teams in the West. 10 teams. So there was even team number 10 who had a record of 500 or better. Only 6 in the East that year. 8th in the East was Atlanta. They won 37 games.
Ugh.
Blazers, who finished... 8th in the West was Denver, I believe. They had 50 wins, 50 and 32.
That's crazy.
The Blazers, who finished with a 41-41 record, were the 10th place team in the West. In the East, the Raptors had that same record, and they were 6th. So this year, I'm thinking that the West might have a similar situation to 10 years ago.
Sure.
So how many teams can realistically win 50 games in the West? Like, I'll name you a few teams, Dave, and you tell me, is 50 wins possible? Golden State.
Absolutely.
We're talking even 60 for them.
Yeah, they almost won 70 this year. So,
Houston.
For sure.
San Antonio.
Absolutely.
OKC.
Yes. They had 47 without Paul George. They're doing okay. Minnesota, for sure. I don't know how they don't do it.
Clippers?
It's possible.
Denver?
Very possible. I think Denver's going to be a team on the rise. New Orleans?
Is that pushing it on my end?
Hard to say. You know what? They've got 2 absolute superstars. So anything's possible.
And they added Drew Holiday. Well, they've re-signed him. A couple other teams who made the playoffs last year, who are on my list: Utah, Portland, and Memphis. We can't count them out.
Oh, absolutely, teams. I think Memphis. Memphis hasn't done anything to get worse. So the only difference is the competition, right? So
exactly.
The bottom
Portland, four,
a healthy Nurkic. I mean, anything's possible.
Yeah, the bottom four: Lakers, Sacramento, Dallas, Phoenix. I think. They won't be anywhere close to even maybe 40 wins.
Uh-huh.
But those are the teams, I think, that will be battling in the Western Conference. That is, that's about like, what, 11 teams?
Yeah.
I think,
it's a really competitive conference.
I think six teams can win 50 games, and then I think you can have a team anywhere between 45, 48 wins that not make the playoffs.
It's possible, for sure. There's just so much talent in that conference now. Because what's Millsap going to do in Denver? Is he going to put them on a whole nother level playing next to Jokic? Jokic was just 20 years old. Is he going to have a breakout season this year? I mean, Lillard, he's got the potential to be the leading scorer in the NBA this year, all alone, in a way, in Portland. With Nurkic, mm-hmm. you saw how well they played at the end of the season.
McCollum compliments him well.
Man, like, anything could happen this year. I don't think the Grizzlies get better because they're just a year older. But short of that, I think every team we mentioned is going to be better, especially the Pelicans. A whole season having those two in the front court.
Pelicans, Wolves.
Yeah, the Timberwolves. Most improved team, 31 wins to 61. I mean, anything's possible with
that team. I don't think they'll win 60. That's pushing it. But they'll definitely, I think, win 50 games.
Yeah.
I think that would be an improvement of, what, 19 games?
For sure.
Which is big. Tom Thibodeau will be in the conversation for Coach of the Year. So let's start in the Eastern Conference, Dave. Huh. Eastern Conference All-Stars. So 12 players. We're going to name 11, and we're going to name that 12th spot for a
best candidates for the 12th spot.
Best candidate. And we're not really looking at position too much.
No, we're going Brad Stevens route. Positionless basketball.
Exactly. It's either you're a ball handler, a wing, or a big.
All right.
So I got Isaiah Thomas, Gordon Hayward, LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, John Wall, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Hassan Whiteside, Kristaps Porzingis, and Joel Embiid. Those are my guys. And
so you have one spot left.
Yeah, the one spot left. They're battling for it. Melo, Kemba Walker, Bradley Beal, Kevin Love, Al Horford.
I'll tell you, it's not a bad sounding team.
Yeah.
Just in comparison
to the West.
It's
gonna get Detroit.
They're the Washington Generals, straight up. Like
But the NBA said they might switch up the All Star game, so we might not even see this. So who do you got?
Come on.
Who do you got? They might go with that hockey rule.
Here's an idea. Just GMs in the East, just make some moves that improve your conference and your team.
Yeah,
so
they might make what hockey did there with the drafting of All Star.
The world team, or you could do like North America versus the world, or America versus the world. You could have a pretty good world team nowadays.
Yeah.
They're getting better and better. I have a similar sounding team. There's some differences. I also have Isaiah Thomas, Gordon Hayward. I've got LeBron James, obviously. Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love makes my team. I just don't see how, with the lack of quality big men in the East, he's got to make the team. Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan are a lock. John Wall, Antetokounmpo, our boy Kristaps Porzingis, and Joel Embiid with a final pick. And this was tough. Bradley Beal, Hassan Whiteside, Melo, and Kemba Walker fighting for it. And I probably give the edge to Bradley Beal just based on his growth.
He could have been an all-star last year, and instead they picked Melo over him.
He was an all-star in the second half of the season. The West, different story.
Go ahead.
Slightly more competitive team.
slightly.
Yeah, a little bit. I've got Steph Curry.
Okay.
Kevin Durant and Draymond Green, no Clay, as a lock on my team. But there's only so much left to go around. Kawhi Leonard is a lock. James Harden, Blake Griffin, Russell Westbrook, Damian Lillard, Anthony Davis, new Timberwolf Jimmy Butler, and old Timberwolf Karl Anthony Towns. And then fighting for the final spot, listen to this. Klay Thompson, Chris Paul, Paul George, Nikola Jokic, and DeMarcus Cousins. Right there alone could be the All-NBA first team. They're my 12th spot, fighting it out, duking it out.
That's
crazy. Watch those elbows, Boogie.
I'm going the four Warriors because they're going to be great, and they made it last year, so I don't see why they won't make it this year. Kawhi Leonard, Chris Paul. The only reason he didn't make it last year is because he got hurt and they didn't vote him and they didn't pick him. I thought he should have got picked and then replaced, but that's just my opinion. So Chris Paul, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Paul George, Anthony Davis, Jimmy Butler, and battling for that last spot, Towns, Cousins, Lillard, and Blake Griffin.
Wow. See, I think Blake Griffin's going to have a special year this year.
Yeah, but I still think we'll see.
No, it's true. It's true. Hey, I got Chris Paul missing this team. It hurts me to do so, but I just feel like him playing with
I'm happy
James
that
Harden. There's only so many shots to go
I'm
around.
Happy that DeAndre Jordan won't be on the team.
It's about time. They brought in some big men. Fill the gap.
I feel sorry for CJ McCollum. I think he's very deserving. Millsap coming to the West annihilates all of his chances to become an all-star again. Booker, a young rising star, could be an all-star in the future.
Mike Conley, too. Mike Conley's a guy that, like...
Great player. And
he should have had consideration this year, but next year it's too deep.
Unless he goes out and gives you like 25 and 12 a night, then you can't ignore that.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's going to be interesting. That West is just so good.
You guys,
we're
going
to have to stay up late all year.
You guys let us know who you think, as of now, could make an all-star. Look, we didn't even mention LaMarcus Aldridge, okay? Right. That guy's off the list, too.
He didn't even make our prep list, dude.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry, bud.
So let us know who you guys got in the West. I know I didn't get to the East because the East is going to be like, we know Cleveland and Boston are going to be up there.
Yeah. Bring those two
Raptors.
Teams, put them together. Yeah. Jay Crowder.
I'm talking in terms of like the whole conference, but the West is just something else. And it's been the better conference for years.
Yep.
And it just got way better.
It was every day through a free agency. Us sending messages to each other, three and the key boys, being like, well, the East just got worse. Well, the West just got better. Now 25% of the All-Star team has switched sides. So
exactly.
At least we got Gordon Hayward, right?
I mean,
we got Gordon Hayward.
They traded Gordon Hayward for Butler, George, Millsap.
Oh, man.
We might even see like rookies maybe make the All-Star game
in the
East.
It's true. Hey, Fultz, you ever get that ankle sorted out? Away you go. Ben Simmons, a lot of good rookies in the East. The East is a young conference now.
Yeah, and maybe it gets better, or maybe stars go there after. We'll see.
We both
obviously
have Porzingis making his first All-Star game.
Yeah, we
so.
Both have him. Who do you guys got in the West and in the East? The emails are the3inthekey@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook at 3inthekey. Follow on Twitter at BasketPod, on Instagram, The3inthekey. You can listen to each and every episode on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, and of course on the Almighty Baller Radio Network. And you can hear us here locally in Ottawa Sunday nights at 7 o'clock on CKDJ 107.9. Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes and Google Play as well. And you can check out our website, 3inthekey.ca. For Dave Tripp, I'm Elias Elzane. Peace.